And picking up on our interview with the chief advisor of the interim government of Bangladesh, CNE's Lokwe Su expanded on Muhammad Yunus' reform agenda that he's vowed to accomplish before those promised elections.
Well, thanks for joining us, Professor Yunus.
Thank you for inviting
today,
me.
We're filming this, it's August the 13th. So that's 1 year, 8 days since the toppling of the regime under the former Prime Minister, Sheikh Hasina. And 1 year, 7 days since you were selected as chief advisor of the interim government. And 1 year, 5 days since you were sworn in to that position with at least four very specific goals. Have you met them?
We are on the way. It's not supposed to be absolutely complete at any time, but we are bringing it to a closure, coming close to achieving the goals that we set for ourselves. One was the reform. Lots of things to be reformed because the system that we had, the political system and also election system and so on, all rigged, all misused, abused to bring out this fascist government, which took advantage of it, destroyed the whole Bangladesh economy, Bangladesh society, ended up making Bangladesh, when we took over as the responsibility of the government, we found a country devastated after an earthquake of nine on the Richter scale. Everything's done, destroyed.
So essentially, ensure accountability for those who took the lives, certainly at least in the uprisings of last year and possibly even before that. Democratic reform, restoring order, ensuring accountability, and finally, as a final gesture of this interim government, making sure there are free and fair elections that you can deliver to the next government.
Our commitment was to make sure that we do the reform desired by the people during this uprising, commitment they have made to the nation during the uprising, put them into these three categories, the reform and trial and election.
Now, the difficulty, of course, is that, and there's a reason why the order is probably not that important. One could argue indefinitely, which is more important, elections first, reforms next, reforms first, elections next. And that possibly is one reason there has been a lack of immediate progress in terms of the different factions that are contributing to your government to reach some kind of unity on when to have elections and what kind of elections you want to have.
Just imagine if we started with the election, we don't need reform. We don't need the trial, because election will end everything from our side. So everything will go into the hands of the people who are elected. Imagine you have the election without doing other two things. Then you go back to the same old problems.
You call it a fascist regime.
Yes, indeed.
In what way is it fascist? Was it fascist?
It's fascist because it doesn't form any rules of law.
And you've called the former prime minister, I think when she left, you said a monster is gone.
If
so
you
that's
had
the level.
If you had any stronger word, I would have used that. The way she killed people on the street, point blank.
Let's look at what's happened to the former prime minister. She fled on the 5th of August last year to India. You have submitted a verbal note of vow to India to return to extradite Sheikh Hasina. They have not done so. I think you have expressly said whether India chooses to host her, that's not your concern, but you would like India to stop her using where she is now as a platform to continue broadcasting her message. That's not getting through, is it?
You quoted me right. This is precisely what I said. We are not going to get into a battle trying to get Hasina out of India. We said you can keep her. Our trial will go on. Trial will decide what happens to her. But in the meantime, she should not be given any chance to destabilize Bangladesh.
On relations with India, I think you have said you cannot draw the map of India without also drawing the map of Bangladesh. In fact, each one defines the other by its very existence. They are, in your words, profoundly integrated.
Absolutely. I said a million times.
So we can't. Criticism, and not from me, that under the interim government, relations with India have taken a backseat to relations with China and Pakistan.
I don't know how to measure those, which one is what. But definitely we have a good relationship, Pakistan, China. Also would like to have good relationship with India. We never said we don't want to have good relationship. Simply saying, what are the problems? We even keep on explaining that the economy of Bangladesh, such a wide scale economy we can build, because we can bring Nepal and Bhutan into this economic zone. And also the seven sisters, seven states of India could be within this economic zone, because we can share the same facility that we have through the Bay of Bengal.
If elections are held February next year, so it's August now, 4 months, 2 months, 6 months, assuming time is set aside for campaigning, and that will take time away from active governance. In this time left, and you have been very clear, you do not want to stay on after there is a legitimate elected government. In 6 months...
It better be a legitimate one. Otherwise, there's no fun in having an election. So if you're doing something wrong, that should not be called election.
Have you carried out sufficient reform to make sure that these institutions now, when they elect this new government, that government is sustainable?
I cannot assure you that that's politics, how it will play out with whom. That's politicians' job. My job is to make sure a decent, acceptable, clean, enjoyable election takes place. Everybody who are voters can cast their vote, because our voters couldn't vote for the last 15 years.
You've called this a beautiful election.
Beautiful election, indeed. Everybody participating in it. I said it should be like a fair, a village fair. So have fun and elect. And there's no kind of tension in it.
I think I'm cheating here. It's not the last question. One more question. It's been a very hard 1 year and 5 days, I imagine, for any leader with your kind of slate of tasks that you have to achieve. Between then and now, what's changed for you in terms of your aspirations, what you thought you could do, and now you realize maybe that was overreaching? Assuming anything has changed.
I had no choice. In the beginning, when I was asked to take the responsibility and form the government, I was away from the Bangladesh at that time. I knew what's happening, but I didn't expect such a thing coming to me. Students inviting me to form the government. I immediately say, no, thank you. This is not the way I think I can I can accept that position. On the third day, they pleaded with me that so much blood has been shed, so much sacrifices have given. You are away from the country, you are enjoying your life, and we need you, and you are saying no. Kind of hit me in a way that I said, okay, I'll agree, I'll accept that responsibility. After you have done so much sacrifices, I should do something on my own too.